Wonderful Holy Spirit, we welcome your awesome presence to reveal the word to our hearts. And Father, I thank you for anointing your people to receive your anointed word in the mighty name of Jesus. In the book of Jonah, chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. In Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1, 2, and 3. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. And he caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Our thought comes today, being sent to where we're needed. Being sent to where we are needed. We are living in a day and the hour when there's so many people that's hurting. There's so many people that's broken. There's so many people that's feeling so hopeless, so helpless. There's so many people that are searching for answers to what they're facing in this life. And I've come to the conclusion of this. There's so many people that are unchurched. And what I mean when I say unchurched simply is that there are many people that don't go anywhere to hear the word, period. Sunday after Sunday, week after week, month after month, year after year. There are people that may sit around a church building, but they never go inside to hear the word of God. So on that note, it begins to arise my curiosity. And I begin to pray and to wonder, Lord, how and what will happen to such people that goes nowhere to hear your word. These verses came to me from the book of Jonah and the book of Ezekiel. And the thought God gave us was being sent to where you are needed. I've come to realize that there are so many in the body of Christ that's talented, that's gifted. We've been blessed by God. We are anointed by God. But I wonder if we ever stop to consider why are we really saved? I wonder if we ever stop to consider why has God anointed us? The anointing is for service, not for showing off. The anointing is not to impress people. And my concern is that are we really being sent to where we need it? I really believe there are so many local assemblies that are jam-packed with talented people. And understand something, saints of God. We have water of life in us. And there are people in the desert places that will never come to no local assembly. I'm convinced that people will pass up a church building to go to somebody's home to hear the word. I'm convinced that so many people will pass a beautiful edifice to go to an auditorium to listen to a stranger who has come into town. And the reason why I feel this way and I'm seeing it happen is because there have been so many people that's lost who have come to physical places, but they have been condemned at the door. They've been looked down upon because of the way they dress. They don't smell too good. They might not smell like Pierre Cardin or Obsession or even High Karate. They have an odor from the world that people in the church forgot about having before they got saved. My point really is simple in this message that God wants me to stress to us. In the book of Jonah, God sent His word to Jonah for one purpose. And God told Jonah to get up and go to Nineveh. Nineveh is the location, Jonah, that you are to go to. And the reason why you're to go to Nineveh is because this is the location you are needed at now, Jonah. There's so many of us are miserable and disgusted in the body of Christ. We wonder why nothing is happening for us anymore. Because I really believe we're not going to the places that the Lord is telling us to go to. Why? Because you may not be needed where you at. You might be needed somewhere else. So it behooves us as saints to pray, to lay on our faces before God, to find out if it's time for me to relocate from the place I'm in to go to where I'm really needed at. You know, when I consider Jonah going to Nineveh, there was other people where Jonah was at apart from Jonah. But this shows how you and I, as believers, have been raised up by God to reach certain people in this world. There are people that you have been designed by God to reach. Not saying that somebody else can't reach them, but they're not going to reach them like God is going to use you to reach them. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. The word God has put in you as a believer has been designed by God to reach certain people that cross your life in this life or that you meet in life. So Jonah is being told by God to go to Nineveh. Nineveh is the location. That great city, and cry against it. Jonah, you have the word in you that the people in Nineveh need to hear. And God told Jonah why you're going to Nineveh. Because the Ninevites' wickedness, what they're doing in Nineveh, has come up before me. God not only saw what they was doing, He smelled the stench of what they was practicing. In the eyes of the people, they saw nothing wrong with what they was doing. So God told Jonah, this is why you have to go to Nineveh. And as you read in the story of Jonah, we notice how Jonah went in another direction. Like so many of us are doing today. God is telling us to go east, we are going west, north, and south. And we're wondering why everything is not working for us. Nothing will ever work for us as saints until we're going to the places we're needed at. You cannot be fulfilled in life unless you are doing what God ordained for you to do. Now, I don't want to read the whole chapter, but I want to pull out some things in the book of Jonah. We notice in chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3, God told Jonah to go to Nineveh. Jonah goes to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Jonah now causes other people to suffer because of his rebellion. Because the boat Jonah got on, a storm came in the waters. The people became afraid and began to cry out. So the truth came out about what Jonah was supposed to be doing. Jonah now tells the people, well, I'm running from the Lord. And the people kind of just paraphrase him, are you crazy? And then, are you crazy enough to come on the boat with us to endanger our life because of your rebellion? So in the bottom of it, in chapter 1, verse 17, God prepared a whale to swallow up Jonah. Now, what I want us to understand is there are many things in life we don't have to go through. And I really believe what Jonah encountered was unnecessary. All because he would not go to the place he was needed. He wanted to go to a place where really he wasn't needed. And in Tarshish, he wasn't needed there. He was needed in Nineveh. Like many of us today. See, in Nineveh, there was no offering that was going to be raised. In Nineveh, there was no glory to be sought after. In Nineveh, there was no pat on the back. In Nineveh, his head couldn't swell as to how good he preached. No, because why? We don't want to go where we need it because it entails too much. It calls for a sacrifice. It calls us to get real. It calls us to fast and to pray. It calls us to give up more than what we're normally giving up. Because if we're going to really go to the places that God wants us to go, it's going to call for something on our part. We have to come out of our comfort zones. We can't just be relaxed. See, it's nothing really to go to a church building and sit in there, listen to a preacher preach, listen to the choir sing, put your money in the basket and go home. That ain't nothing. That's like routine. But when God has an assignment for your life, when He wants you to go somewhere that other people probably don't want to go, it's going to cost you something as a person in order to fulfill this task you've been assigned by God to do. Now, if God is letting you go somewhere different, see, God is going to prepare you before you go. Now, Jonah just wasn't told by God to just go to Nineveh. He was prepared by God already. And there are many of us listening to me. God has prepared you to go to places that others should have been going, but since they don't want to go, God needs somebody to go and bring the water to the deserts. Remember, there are people, as I brought out earlier, that will attend nobody's church. The question is, who's going to reach them? So in chapter 2 of Jonah, after Jonah was swallowed up by this whale, Jonah began to pray. Now this is something he should have been doing prior to being swallowed up by the whale. You know, trouble makes us pray. When everything's going right, we become at ease in Zion. We lay back, we chill out. But let trouble strike. Oh Lord, have mercy. Oh God, spare us. Oh God, forgive us. It's strange about us as humans that trouble brings us to our knees, and trouble brings us to our senses, and trouble makes us now refocus back on God. So in chapter 2 of Jonah, Jonah began to pray and began to tell God that he's sorry. In chapter 2, verse 9, Jonah said, "But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I vow. Salvation is of the Lord." What Jonah did was, he said, "Lord, I simply repent. Forgive me for running away from you, because I didn't recognize that you're a God of timing and that your reason for sending me to Nineveh was so that these people in Nineveh can know how loving and kind and sweet you are. They do not know that you're a merciful God. I know that you're merciful, but they don't know. And not only that, the people of Nineveh thought what they was doing was okay. The Bible says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." So God was getting Jonah to recognize something. Once this whale swallowed up Jonah, he couldn't go anywhere. Now God got Jonah's attention. And my friend, I hope and pray that things like this don't have to happen to us for God to now get our attention. And Jonah now recognized, I see why I'm supposed to go to Nineveh. Being sent to where you need it. And in chapter 3 of Jonah, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. This proved that God wanted to use Jonah and Jonah only. It's not saying that God couldn't raise somebody else up, but I want you to understand something. The time it takes for God to develop you and to mature you and to season you as a believer and then assign you to do something and you back up like a crawfish, you really hurt God when you do that. We really insult God's intelligence. That's what we do. We tell God, "Lord, I'm still not able to be used by you." But God is saying, "No, I put in you what people need that I'm going to send you to." Remember, being sent to where we are needed. And in the end, Jonah finally goes to Nineveh. He preaches, and 120,000 people get saved. They turn from their sinful ways. This is what God was trying to get Jonah to understand from the beginning. If you'd have simply went to Nineveh, what you're now seeing would have happened at first. And in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, verses 1, 2, and 3, We notice how the hand of the Lord was upon Ezekiel, and he was carried out in the Spirit of the Lord. Note something. God's hand upon Ezekiel simply means that God was strengthening him, anointing him, and empowering him for service. See, when God's hand is upon your life, God is letting you know that I have ordained you to do something in particular. And by my hand being upon you, I have sanctioned and sanctified you for a task. Now, it takes you being sensitive to me to know where I want you to go. And notice something else. And he was carried out in the Spirit of the Lord. And Ezekiel was carried out in the Spirit of the Lord and set him down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. You notice God is sending a live preacher to a dead location. God has sent Ezekiel to a place where there was nothing but spiritual death. The purpose of this message is to get us to see that we are saved for a purpose. And oftentimes we think our purpose mainly is behind four walls. Yes, we ought to be taught the word. We ought to come to prayer meetings. We ought to be faithful. But what are we doing with what we are getting after the prayer meetings, after the Bible study, after the Sunday service? Are we taking what we're getting and using it to reach someone else? Are we really asking God, what will thou have me to do? Rather than sitting in the church fussing and complaining about what you might not like. You don't like how long the preacher takes to preach. You're criticizing the choir. But my question is, saint, what are you doing with what God has given to you? See, we notice Ezekiel was being sent to a valley where there was nothing but death. I want to stress this. We often want to go to places where there's prestige and you're going to get a pat on the back. We want to go places where people will see us and not Christ, the hope of glory in us. See, the pulpit is not a place to show off. God's pulpit is not a place for stars. The only star should be there is the star of David, who is Jesus. And now notice this. Ezekiel was being sent, and he was actually led to a place where there was nothing but death. See, there was no offerings in this valley. He couldn't get no money. He couldn't milk people from money or with money. No. He was sent there for a purpose and a task. God's hand upon your life denotes God has anointed and empowered you for service. And just as God's hand be upon your life, God's hand will now lead you to the place He wants you to go. But are we really listening to God? And are we really going to the places God is showing us to go? And I'm convinced that many of us are not. I'm convinced that so many of us are so satisfied, like Jonah. We save, sanctify, and we selfish. I really believe that many of us really are not concerned, and it's being sure and proven every day, that we are saved and we could care less if people go to hell. I look at our actions toward people that's not saved. What are we doing to try to reach people? Are we even asking God to save people? Let alone trying to witness to them. And Ezekiel is being sent to this valley. Because why? That's where the need was at. That's where Ezekiel was needed at. You're not needed in the church where they got 25 and 30 preachers on the roster. No, you're not needed there. There's a brother in, and I thank God for this brother, that God have him in another part of the world. And this brother made a statement that there's no need for him coming to the States because he's not needed here. And when I heard it, it kind of like, then I understood why he made that statement. And then the Lord began to show me, he said, son, why would the light I've given him need to shine in the States when there's so much light in the States? When there's darkness in many countries, where people in these countries need the light that many of you in the States have, and many of you have put out. I said, Lord, I understand this. So what am I saying to us, saints of God? We must ask God, where are we needed at now? Because time is so short. Men are dying left and right. So much is happening in this hour. So many things are taking place in our world. And are we really missing the people we're supposed to be reaching? Because remember, there's so many people will not come to know local assembly. I see this time and time again. People will sit around a church building. They sit on a corner from the church, never going in. Why? Because they have no interest to go inside of many buildings. Because they've had bad experiences. They've had bad encounters. But my question is, who is going to reach them? God needs somebody to reach them. We're so wrapped up in the building, how pretty it is, but yet the action is not in the building. The action is outside the building. And note this. Notice Ezekiel was not sent to a church with stained glass windows. He was not sent to a church with carpet on the floor, with plush pews. He was not sent to a church with chandeliers and a pipe organ. He was not sent to a building like this. Ezekiel was sent to a valley, a low place, where there were people that were alcoholics, drug addicts, prostitution, pimps. He was sent to a place where there were people that was poverty stricken, didn't have no money to give an offering. He was sent to a people like this that was dead, that didn't know their left from their right. He was sent to the need of where people was at. He was sent to bring water to the desert, to the cactus, to people that was lifeless, that didn't know what it was to tote a Bible, that didn't know songs in a psalm or a hymn book. He was sent to a people that was ignorant to anything that pertains to the Bible. He was sent to a people that didn't know Jesus died for them. He was sent to a people that didn't know Jesus was buried, that Jesus rose again, and that Jesus is alive today. He was sent to a people that didn't know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh yeah, many of us can quote that scripture. But how many people do we meet that don't even know that? See, you're not saved to impress people. You're not anointed to impress people. You're saved to be a light in this dark world. You're saved to be salt to give taste to this tasteless generation. And there are people in our jobs we meet, in our communities, even our families, that we need to ask God, Lord, send me to where I am needed at. And if I'm not needing a local assembly, send me to where the need is at. And Ezekiel has been sent to the valley of dry bones. Lifeless individuals, a live preacher being sent to a dead location. And there are so many places I know that's dead. You got so many local assemblies that's dead. And I understand why many people don't come. They're already dead, and if they come to the places where there's already debt, debt going to produce more debt. So they already messed up, and I'm understanding why they don't go there. But thank God that there are places people can come to who are dead, but they leave out alive because Jesus resurrected them. And note verse 2. And caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Notice this. God's hand being upon Ezekiel brought Ezekiel to the valley because Ezekiel was sensitive to God. And Ezekiel saw the condition of people in this location he was needed at. Unlike Jonah, Ezekiel didn't run from God. He didn't rebel against God. He went to the place God wanted him to go. And since Ezekiel was obedient to God, he began to see the condition of how people really are and what it would take to reach people right where they at. People need real people to come to them. people don't need people to come and try to condemn them or try to change them from what they're doing. We cannot change nobody. The only thing we can do is deliver the message of Jesus Christ to people that's in the conditions they are, and let them see that Jesus is your answer, and that Jesus loves you just as you are, and that Jesus can change you and give you a new lease on life if you give your heart and your life to Him. So Ezekiel saw the condition of the people, and he began to ask God a question, or more or less God asked him, "Son of man, can these bones live?" God asked Ezekiel, "Son of man, these people you see in the place I've sent you to go, can they really live?" Ezekiel said, "Lord, you know." But not only did God know, God now going to let Ezekiel and you and I as saints know that people you think can't change, can change. That people that's dead can live again. If we allow God to send us to where the need really is. And notice what God told Ezekiel to do. While you're in this valley, Ezekiel, don't give them your opinions. Don't tell them what you heard somebody preach. Don't give them some philosophy. Don't read nothing out of no newspaper. Don't tell them what you saw on television. Prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, "O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." That is the answer. The word of God. But you see, we can't give God word to people if we don't know the word ourselves. This is why we must study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So God is telling Ezekiel, give them my word that I put in you. Give them the word that I place in you before I sent you to where they are. Let them know that I love them, that I died for them, that I can change them. Neither is their salvation, and that word salvation means deliverance, healing, freedom, restoration, help, in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, whereby we must be delivered, whereby we must be set free than Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is your answer. So Ezekiel began to do as God instructed him. He began to prophesy. And let me come to a close. We need to ask God as saints, "Lord, where will you have me to go? Where is the place that I'm needed at?" And if you don't know where you're needed, begin to seek God seriously and get before Him and ask God if it's time for you to move from where you are to another place. Loving Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you for sending your word to your people in this hour. And God, I thank you for waking us up as the body of Christ, stirring our hearts and our souls. God, I thank you for doing us like you done Ezekiel, bringing us to valleys where there are people that's dead, where we can speak your word to cause life to come to them. God, open the eyes of the church in this hour to see that there are so many people who will not come to physical buildings, but that we must take the water to the desert. And God, I pray that you release your anointing upon those that's crying out to you even now. Ask the Lord, what will you have them to do? I pray that you guide them this day, blessed Father. Direct them and lead them. And show them the places they're needed to be going in. In Jesus' name. Remember, saints, being sent to where we're needed. And if you are knowing, and if you know that you're needed in a place, pray toward that place. Because God will use you when you get to this place. Through your obedience, lives will be changed. Lives will be transformed. And learn from Jonah. Don't run from God, but run for God. Let me repeat that. Don't run from God, but start running for God. In Jesus' name.